This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI.
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Kirk and Callahan Show.
What a bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
And Bruins writer Matt Kalman.
We need this win. You know, we got a lot of losses.
Yeah, we got a lot of losses.
Sunday Skate is brought to you by Star Market. Lace them up for some Bees Talk right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
And beat Pastrnak to the puck. Now he's going to try and freeze it against the boards. And the Maple Leafs have done it. They hang on for a 4-3 victory and force Game 6 on Monday night in Toronto.
All right, Matty, years from now, if the Bruins blow this series, it's a big if. I'm not predicting it. But if that's the case, are we going to look back on Game 5 at the Garden last night, and will it be the Tuukka meltdown game? Somehow that seems to be the narrative coming out of this. And not just by fans now. This is the coach throwing him under the bus a little bit last night as well. Wouldn't you say?
I think the bus kind of spared him there. I don't think it was throwing him under the bus as much as he sings his praises all season long. And when he has one bad game, it's time to critique him honestly.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just used to Claude. Would Claude have critiqued him honestly after a game like that?
But Claude stopped being honest like 4 years ago. So, you know, we never got anything out of it. Would have just been called, it's called coaching.
True. Four goals allowed in 13 shots speaks for itself. And it was the first time, my buddy in the morning, Chris Curtis, texted me this last night as well. First time that Rask had ever been pulled in a playoff game.
Yes.
That was news to me.
You know what? It's the first time the Bruins have pulled a goalie in a playoff game, I think.
Going back to 95, according to Dale.
There you go.
In the postgame. That's
definitely it, because that's way before my time, so I haven't seen it happen.
Which is amazing, actually, when you think about it. It seems to be a common move in the postseason. There's just a game where things get out of hand, and it's more used as a spark than anything.
Well, it's especially surprising when you consider how much Tuukka sucks, right? I mean, let's face it, he sucks, so, you know, it has to be his fault. Let's throw him under the bus. He's terrible. I'm sure we'll be getting barraged with calls here. We're going to get showered in Tuukka hate. This morning?
I actually would like to get some Tuukka calls this morning, just in the sense of how much is he to blame last night. I don't want to, you know, do the entire blame pie as the whole show. It's, you know, cliche topic. But in this game, I do think it's an interesting discussion because
he was bad.
He wouldn't. Okay. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was good. You can't say he was good. You give up four goals in 13. Would you put him anywhere near the top of the reasons they lost this game, though, last night?
Top five, I guess. Top three.
Okay, top five.
It was pretty bad. I mean, let's face it. I think the one that got Cassidy really fired up was the Bozak goal.
If there's any goal to critique, that's the one.
And that's definitely a bad one. And, you know, it's like they talk about how they want him to make the big save, bail him out once in a while, and clearly he did that in Game 4, and he didn't do it in Game 5, and I think that's the thing here. You know, he's not going to bail them out every night, and maybe sometimes they should show up when the puck drops and not get off to these bad starts and not have these defensive breakdowns and be prepared for the fact that the Leafs have Kadri back and they have balanced lines, and they clearly weren't. They didn't know who they wanted to match up against. They let Matthews run wild in that one shift that got led to a goal, and that burned them. But, yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, with Tuukka Rask, with the high profile he has and the talent he has, and the pressure people want to put on him, he should have maybe made a death-defying save, a Freddie Anderson-type save, and he didn't. So he gets as much blame as anyone else, I guess.
Now, the Bozak goal is the game of the night. I mean, that's right after Backus scores on the power play to make it 2-1. It is a backbreaker. There's no doubt.
I mean, but obviously there were breakdowns there, too. I mean, geez, Charlie McAvoy, I don't know what's happened to him these last couple of games, but especially last night, doesn't look as confident, doesn't look as poised as the rookie sensation that he was this year. And, you know, it resonates through the whole lineup because next thing you know, you're leaning on Kevin Miller more, you're leaning on McQuaid more, and it didn't work out.
Now, if you're going to blame Rask for the Bozak goal, just looking at it honestly, Bozak's 4 feet away?
Yeah.
With nobody in front of him.
Right. Well, that's where it comes in, the whole, you know, let's make a point-blank save, let's make a save like Michael Neuvier made against Sid Crosby, you know, let's come up with something big.
Kind
of maintain the lead. Hey, I mean, there were obviously other plays that did him in, too. I mean, you know, you look at he didn't get back on that wraparound before the Brown goal, and Krug had to block that shot. So, you know, he's obviously a little slow. He did make a couple of nice saves, that one on Nylander earlier in the second. Was pretty good save to keep them in the game there.
Yeah, about a minute and a half into the second.
Yeah, I mean, they needed something spectacular. It's unfortunate that it came to that, obviously, that they needed something spectacular in this game where you knew Toronto was going to be so desperate, and clearly the Bruins didn't take it seriously, didn't really focus and play their game, and they had all the same issues. I mean, they put up the 90 shot attempts, whatever it was. But, you know, early in that game especially, they were being – it was kind of a carryover of game four where they were being outchanced and they were being, you know, broken down by the Leafs.
Well, I have no problem if you say Tuukka wasn't spectacular. He wasn't Freddie Anderson.
Right.
You know, in with the amazing save he had on Pastrnak back in, was it game three?
Right.
If you could say he wasn't good, even Rask admitted he wasn't good afterwards. So it's not, I mean, I don't want to sit here and defend Tuukka for 60 minutes, but I just, for you, if you are going to put this game on the goaltender.
Right. I think most coaches would have probably just said, oh, we needed to spark the team. We were slow. We were sluggish. But
exactly. At 4-1.
Bruce Cassidy can't help himself. He's Mr. Honesty, and good for him.
Well, here, Eamon, do you have the post-game clip? This was our Scott McLaughlin who asked Cassidy why he pulled Rask when he was down 4-1 last night.
Tuukka was his play, and how much was to try to shake things up for the other guys?
I didn't think he had it tonight, so we went with Anton, who's been very good for us. And then there's always that part of gets the rest of the team's attention as well. So it's both. I don't want to measure or quantify what percentage of each, but you know, clearly if I thought he was on, then he wouldn't have got pulled. I guess I put it that way.
You know, one of the stories of the season for the Bruins was Hudobin coming in November, of course, when Rask was question struggling. But for Cassidy to throw that out there so quickly, Tuukka didn't have it. Hudobin's been good for us. I put him in there. I mean, that is like...
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe it goes back to that. Maybe it goes back to the way he lit a fire on the Tuukka back then, and he wants to make sure that Monday night this guy is ready and sharp. And I think he will be, obviously. It'll be a question of whether the guys in front of him can, you know, make the same response. But clearly... he's not gonna use kid gloves on his goaltender, and that's good. Treat him as a player, fire him up, get him focused, and that's you know, Bruce always has his hand on the pulse of these things. I mean, even in Providence, the little bit I got to cover him down there when I would go down there, he was blunt about everyone. You know, you have kids down there, 20, 21, first year pro, playing defense and struggling, and he's not afraid to say it, and he's not afraid to kind of, you know, use some honesty, you know, some tough love on these guys, and that's one of the keys here.
Cassidy even started the press conference, we could play it a bit later, saying you want a save or two mixed in.
Right.
I mean, so it was on the forefront of his mind.
Yeah.
You tell us, 617-779-7937, how much is Rask to blame for last night's loss? The Bruins coming off the 4-2 defeat last night. They still lead the series 3-2. Sunday Skate presented by Star Market, Ken Laird and Matt Kalman on Twitter, at Matt Kalman. Nice and easy with you until 9 o'clock this morning. There were other issues, of course, but just to finish up on Tuukka now, I did see these numbers thrown out. In his playoff history, series-clinching games.
Oh, God.
5-11
right.
With a goals against average near 3 and a save percentage under 900.
Yeah.
So
obviously 2010 kind of skews that, right?
I mean, no question. But people were going to remember that.
Yep, exactly.
And so after last night, that plus the coach calling you out a little bit, plus it's going to be the next 2 days. You just wonder where Rask mentally will be going to Air Canada Center Monday night.
Yeah, I don't worry about his mentally. I just worry about his play, and I'd worry about him, you know, if there are breakdowns like there were, if he's able to come up big. We know he has in the past, but that's the thing I would worry about. I don't worry about him mentally. I don't think he ever has a mental issue. I think he has, you know, sometimes he gets some physical issues, and sometimes he's just not sharp playing-wise, especially when he's playing every other night like they are right now. Not a lot of rest at this point of the season, and that's the only thing I would worry about. I wouldn't worry about it mentally. I mean, he's been in this situation so many times. Like you said, 5-11. I don't think he even knows that. I don't think anyone really knows that.
Well, he'll be reminded of it, probably.
Yeah, probably, especially when he gets to Toronto.
He did speak afterwards, which is something that Austin Matthews did not do after the Game 4 loss.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to the press. Rass did. His quote was, probably could have stopped more pucks with my eyes closed. It's on me. But moving on to the next one, and we'll finish it out in Toronto, end quote. So basically a little sly Joe Namath guarantee there.
You know, he heard John Tortorella do the same thing, and he's got to, you know, everyone's got to follow Tort's lead, right, on everything.
Right. Tort said we'll be back here for game 7.
Yeah, he's the trendsetter, right? So,
which I guess, I mean, you know, who cares? There have been so many predictions now through the course of sports that's probably going to get lost in the shuffle. But if you're the Leafs and you're Mike Babcock, that's up on a board somewhere,
right,
whatever role that's going to play in the whole thing. You talked about the early start to the game. This is what stuns me the most. I really haven't been able to predict this series very well, so maybe I'll just stop doing it. I thought it was going to be a long series when it started. Then it was 2-0, and
you had it over.
I was pretty much done. We were talking about lightning last week. But I did not expect the Bruins to come out as flat as they did last night.
I think maybe you just forgot history. Even in 2013, everyone remembers the great comeback in Game 7, but they were up 3-1 in that series, too.
Well, you know what was more impactful to me? Was just the way the Leafs got embarrassed in Game 4. They seemed lifeless. Well, Matthews nowhere to be found. Didn't speak to the press.
Yeah, I would disagree about them being lifeless as a team. I think Matthews and Nylander were a huge disappointment, and that's why they were going to lose the series. Those guys didn't come alive. But I think, you know, you look at the 77 shot attempts in that game. You know, Tuukka clearly stole that one for the Bruins the way Anderson did Game 5, and the coach made the adjustments. He threw Kadri in there. He didn't just go back to the same lineup, and he leaned on Plekanec a little more with Marner and Marlowe, gave them a good two-way line. That's why he's the coach he is. That's why he's the highest paid coach in the league. And now they have, the Bruins have to kind of counter that. You know, even penalty kill. You know, the Bruins had a lot of chances, power play, but a lot of the plays that worked the first four games did not work last night. By the way, David Pastrnak is going to take a one-timer from the circle. I'm pretty sure the Leafs got the memo on that one.
They got the memo, and that probably should be the number one story of the game. You get six power plays right in a postseason game, and you score on one of them, including, what, a minute and a half on a two-man advantage?
Right.
That's the story. You lose by a goal, and you had
and
six power
plays. Scored
the
one on the fluky bounce. I mean, they got two fluky bounces in this game, and that, you know, kind of tells the story even more, is that not only was Anderson great, but you wouldn't have even scored more than one goal maybe if it wasn't some friendly glass and some friendly net cord there. So they have to bear down. I think early in the game they were too fine. I think we saw a lot of guys shooting for a spot instead of just getting it on Anderson and trying to create rebounds. And then as the game went on, you get desperate. You start just firing away, and a lot of pucks hit shin pads. I mean, what did they have, 23 blocks, something like that? So
I think 22, 23.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. So that's not the formula to score here.
Well, on the two-man advantage specifically, they missed the net several times.
Right.
Bergeron missed the net. Krug missed the net. It went for like that perfect pass to Krug at the post.
Ridiculous. And Torrey Krug, he's hesitating, and I don't know what gets into a guy's head like that. I mean, he's shoot for his defenseman, and he's hesitating. He's looking for those passes, looking for that special spot. And there was one time he had a perfect one-timer, and then he took 3 years to get the shot off, and of course they blocked it.
Yep. The only good, really great A chance they had was Marchand on the on the cross-ice pass.
Right.
Anderson had his pad already there.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a tough angle.
Right.
Tough to kill Marchand, but that, I guess, is part of the other story. They did not finish last night. They didn't finish in Game 3.
Right.
With a bunch of chances on a power play, early third period in that game. And last night, they had 90 attempts, the most this season for the team.
Yeah.
Almost 70% Corsi edge and 5-on-5 control.
Well, when you're down three goals, you're going to get that Corsi edge because you're going to shoot from everywhere.
True.
But
some quality chances, too.
Yeah, they had some good ones, for sure. I mean, heck, Anderson was great. I mean, there's no doubt he looked like the way he looked in the regular season, where, like I think I said last week, he kind of has that Dominic Hasek thing going, where he knows he's getting 40 to 50 shots a night, and he has to be great. And he was most of the season.
He had the edge, and I do think the coaching edge was evident last night for Babcock. You pointed this out already, and DJ Bean was on it pretty quick last night to give DJ some credit. Just the bizarre.
No, we don't do that here.
Okay, well, DJ's still an emeritus member of the family.
Okay.
Ty Anderson stabbed us in the back, but that's fine. But DJ we still love. But Chara being not out there for Austin Matthews for the first 6 minutes exclusively,
right.
What happened before that? I didn't go back and try to match up.
They just decided to go for the Kadri. They were worried about the Kadri matchup. They went
worried
with
about
Chara
the Kadri
and McAvoy
matchup
against Kadri and Nylander.
Like, that was
maybe
the game
it's more
plan.
Like the Nylander matchup. Maybe they were worried about him. But, yeah, they decided that somebody else could handle that. And we saw, Krug and McQuaid out there after a face-off against the Matthews line.
That's
and boom,
a pretty egregious mistake from Cassidy. Probably the first
yeah,
in the series.
Yeah, I think
he's
so.
Made.
I think he definitely deserves some criticism for that. I think there was a lot of hemming and hawing after the game. I tried to kind of touch on it a little bit as much as you can in a 50 million person scrum and in post game. You know, you get a lot of this nonsense about we trust everybody to play against everybody. Well, that's a lot of bull, because we're not calling up guys from Providence to play against Austin Matthews tomorrow. I mean, this is the matchup. You want the best against the best, and they didn't do it.
Well, does Connor Brown score that goal if Chara's on the ice?
Exactly, he doesn't. And we saw that later in the game when Chara was out there with him, and that became the matchup the second half of the game. Matthews tried to go end-to-end. He went through about three Bruins, gained the zone, and Chara used his reach and forced him to the outside, and he got nothing. I think Matthews was getting frustrated by the end of that game, actually.
I mean, to Babcock's credit, he sort of split up a lot of his talent through the four lines, really, to make it.
That's what you're supposed to do,
right? I mean, it was.
But it helps too. Then all the Kadri back with Plekanec playing like he deserves to be here. I mean, the first couple of games he was pretty much non-existent, and you were wondering if they're even going to keep him in the lineup.
But if you look back on this game and you think, all right, Connor Brown scored his first NHL goal, and so did Johnsson, by the way, Andreas Johnsson,
right?
And they were on new lines. And somehow he got his top star away from Zdeno Chara. Yeah. And that's the game.
Yeah, I mean, he got him away from him by the Bruins not going after him. I mean, that was the decision early in the game. And then, you know, he starts juggling the pairs and going with Krug, McAvoy for offense. And then, you know, and let's face it, Kevin Miller and Adam McQuaid didn't have the greatest game. We saw McQuaid's ice time cut way back in this one. So obviously,
in fact, I wonder if Holden's in tomorrow.
That's the thing now. You got to wonder if you're not taking a lot of penalties here. I think they at least had one power play last night. They scored on it, of course, but they had two power plays the two games in Toronto. So do you really need Adam McQuaid in there for the penalty killing as much as maybe you need Nick Holden to help move the puck because they're not managing the puck at all?
And if, you know, if McAvoy's not the guy you thought he was coming into the series right now for whatever reason,
yeah.
Holden takes on a little more.
Yeah, exactly. And it gives you the versatility. I mean, obviously he's a left shot. They don't like playing the left shot on the right side, but geez, the guy's done it a lot of his career. He's been fine. He looked pretty decent in the regular season. Just get him out there. Even if you have to just put him with Chara, and you know maybe you do break up the Chara McAvoy thing and on the road, and you go with McAvoy Krug.
Now the first goal the Brown did score, you know, Krug and McQuaid are on the ice. Yeah. I don't know if it's all them.
Yeah,
the Bergeron line somehow didn't get it deep. I kind of missed that whole sequence.
Yeah, there was a faceoff in the defensive zone, and then I didn't see how the puck turned over, but Adam McQuaid gave Austin Matthews a mile of gap there, and he got speed, and he got to come around, circle the net, and create something in front. And
Krug was nowhere to – I mean, yeah, that's not what you expect exactly. Krug to be doing.
He's trying to – you know, obviously he didn't probably expect that to happen, and then he had to dive back. And he made a great save. If the puck stayed out, it would have been one of the highlights of the night, but instead it's a gaff.
And the second goal from Andreas Janssen – I mean, McAvoy's got the main culprit.
Yeah, he admitted that after the game, he needs to turn around and block that pass. And again, these are the breakdowns that happen, you know. But I mean, let's face it. I'm just reading a tweet here, a headline on Twitter. It just says Tuukka Rask, terrible game, burned the Bruins. There's only one.
Well, that's what I mean. There's only one
player on the ice, you know. But hockey is not a game of multiple players and motion and different lines and different matchups. It's just one man against the whole team. Obviously, is in some people's minds here, and so
and that's why it's dumb. To be honest, that's why it's dumb for Cassidy to say that.
Yeah.
Because now that's the quote that gets picked up by everybody.
Right.
You got the coach calling out the goaltender for being crap.
Well, maybe because he knows Tuukka can take it. Maybe he's trying to defer from the attention. He's not going to throw a Charlie McAvoy or a Matt Grizzlick or whoever off under the bus at this point. He wants the veteran goalie who, you know, lets things blow off his shoulder all the time. I think maybe there's some head games there.
Interesting. All right, 617-779-7937. And the other thing would be the Stars for the Bruins not finishing last night, not just the whole team not finishing. The story of games one and two was obviously the Bruins' top line was unstoppable. They had 20 points through two games.
Yep. And then they get too cute. That's what happens every time. They get a little funk, and that's when they get too cute.
Is that what you think it
simplify.
Is? Possibly yeah, I mean, 10 shots last night?
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, you know, he's just shooting from everywhere at this point. And the best part about them, those first two games, and I couldn't believe it because they had played so poorly the last 2 weeks of the season, right?
Yep.
Even Cassidy talked about calling people out. He was calling them out. He wasn't shying away from the fact that they were kind of looking forward to the playoffs. And I think they get too cute, and they just try to do these fancy plays, especially Marchand. And the first two games of the series was when they were dumping pucks. I even saw Pastrnak, you know, dump it in the corner and see what you can do, and it was working. And so they just got to get back to that, especially with the matchups not in their favor in Toronto. They're going to have to just simplify again, and I think they will. I mean, Patrice Bergeron doesn't let that line get too off track too often, and he'll get that message through.
You wouldn't think so, but the problem for them now is they'll go to Toronto, where Babcock has the last change,
yeah.
And it will be really interesting to see who matches up against that line.
Yeah.
Whether
it's going to be tougher now.
Pekanic or Kadri, who's been their guy all year.
I would guess if they keep Pekanic with Marner and Marlowe, though, that's your shutdown line. And that frees up Kadri to go against somebody else and to be more of an offensive force. And that's what they want from him. The guy scored 32 goals, and they don't want it to just be a checking center. And that's going to be a tough test for the Bruins, and that's where the other lines are going to have to come in too. You know, you can't ever lean on – I mean, to have the production they had the first two games was unprecedented for a first line in the playoffs. You always see first lines get shut down by top D pairs, and then it's the secondary scoring. So that's where it's going to be the difference on Monday.
Well, if they do blow this series – I still don't think that line's going to get criticized much, even if they come up empty.
Nah.
You know what's going to fall?
Rick Nash.
Well, exactly. And I'm looking at the call, and I think I'm going to take Freddie right away because I can see this is going to become an easy whipping boy for the team, even if the Stars don't produce. So, Freddie, you're up first. Fred from New Hampshire, who's in every
morning,
week.
Guys.
What's
morning,
up, buddy?
Matt and Morning. Jerry. If I can address Rick Nash this morning, If that's all you got, I'm not buying it, man. This isn't Columbus and New York where you can get by playing a shift or two. This is Boston. You don't put it on that spoke B and go through the motions. You have a chance to put your name on the Holy Grail. Smarten up. Goodbye, guys.
See, this is Freddie. Rick.
Well, first of all, Rick Nash did not get away with anything in New York. I'm pretty sure he wore the goat horns all of right down to the last game of the finals that year. So
this is Rick Nash now. You expected Rick Nash to dominate a series, you were expecting the wrong guy.
I don't know if I expected to dominate a series. I expected him to be more of a force, be more of a presence in front of the net, power play. And it's been a struggle. He's gotten some chances, and I hate that excuse.
Three times last night.
Yep, exactly. He's drawn a few penalties in this series. I think that's a sign that he's engaged. He's just not finishing, and that's the problem. He needs to finish. That was the problem in New York. He had tons of chances, tons of shots on goal, just didn't have the production, and it's kind of weird to see that happen.
Well, they gave up a lot for him, so he's got expectations on him because of that. But it wasn't, that outrageous in terms of what you give up at the trade deadline for a guy of his.
They gave up a lot for him, but I mean, this, we know we've been told this, and it keeps proving true. It's not just the Bruins bragging. They have a lot in the coffers as far as picks and prospects. We've seen these kids all come up and meet the expectations. Ryan Spooner was not going to be a difference maker for this team. He didn't have a position here.
They did a favor by getting Spooner out of here.
Right, exactly. So in the first round pick's going to be a kind of low first round pick. It's not a huge thing. They gave up a lot for
him. The prospect is the big thing, right?
Yeah, Lindgren, he's okay. I mean, you hear mixed reviews on him. He's not a puck mover. He's kind of a defensive defenseman. I don't know if there's much offensive upside there, and he might be at best a 3 or a 4. So when you consider the way this team is drafted the last few years, the way this team is good at attracting college free agents, you can replenish that. And I'm not too worried about what they gave up. And it's obviously you hope game 6 is the difference, or you hope that if they push this pass this round, that gives Rick Nash some time to get hot. I mean, we've seen it so many times. 2011, people were ready to run Lucic out of town in the playoffs, and we know how that went. So it's guys are on hot and cold in these series.
If they lose in the postseason, even if it's not this series, Nash and Rask are going to be the one. Those guys
easy.
Will get.
I think it's because it's easiest to pronounce.
Yeah,
you only have 4 letters, so people are just easily able to say Rask and Nash.
Yeah,
they're not going to blame. They're not going to blame the hometown boy, Grizzly or somebody like that. They're not going to, they're not going to, of course, touch the coach. Or it's going to be the goalie and Rick Nash. Or Krejci, too. Krejci's a whipping boy here. Guy leads the playoffs in scoring 2 years. The 2 years they go to the finals, and he's a whipping boy because supposedly he doesn't try, even though we all know his MO is his approach to the game. Is he looks like he's calm and cool and collected. He slows things down, and that's the way he plays.
Yep.
But he's not putting people's heads through the glass. He's not, everyone has to live up to that Cam Neely MO. It always did in Lucic. It doesn't charge. And now if you're not killing people, they say you're not trying. And now it's happening to Rick Nash, too, right? He's so big, and we've seen him knock some people over and draw some penalties. But, if he doesn't score and he doesn't kill people, he's not going to get the love here.
Yeah, and people don't want to hear defensively responsible, but he's been pretty much that as advertised.
Yeah.
Have you seen him on the ice and be like
exactly. And, it's by the same token, too, is game 5 of coming back from a concussion. I'm not going to make I guess I am making an excuse, but these things take time, and you have to find your rhythm. But like I said, he's gotten some chances. He's had his stick broken. He's missed, and he has to get this. He has to be more accurate. That's for sure.
All right, let's talk Game 5 and the loss last night, 4-3. 617-779-7937. Does Toronto have an edge, a serious edge as you see it, heading back to Game 6? Where do they have the Bruins reeling right now or in trouble? Let us know what you think. How about Rask? How about Nash? Who's the goat horns from last night? Are you willing to give anybody else criticism on top line? Marchand not getting back on the Bozak goal. People just want to put that on Tuukka.
Right.
I mean, he got beat. He got beat to the post.
There were so many broken plays, broken things that happened on that. And there's no business but that puck getting down the ice and getting kicked back. And it's just unbelievable that they hung Tuukka out to dry, and he didn't pick them up there. There's no doubt.
All right, so Monday night you got a big one, and possibly a Game 7 Wednesday. Sunday Skate presented by Star Market. Kent Laird and Matt Kalman on Twitter at Matt Kalman. We'll continue here on Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to Sunday Skate with Ken Laird and Matt Kalman, presented by Star Market on WEEI.
Well, clearly wasn't good enough. We let them get to the top of the paint for a couple of goals that we're generally pretty solid on. You know, we had a couple of two-on-twos tonight, turned into two good, you know, very good chances happened up there. So clearly we got to address that. Those aren't odd man rushes. That's not stretch plays. That's just basic two-on-twos that we need to communicate better, square up better, defend better. And then obviously you want to save as well mixed in those, and that didn't happen either. So the stuff that we've done well lately, defend, get saves, that didn't happen early on. And then we found our legs eventually and fought our way back in, but the start wasn't good enough.
Bruce Cassidy, his opening comments last night after the Bruins 4-3 loss to the Leafs. It was a 4-1, Matt, and the story in the Toronto Star talks about Leafs fans reminiscing to 5 years ago when it was 4-1, and that lead was kind of wilting down last night, 4-2, 4-3. You wonder what if you're a Toronto fan, what you were thinking, but they survived, they hung on, they just sort of limped to the finish line, whatever you want to describe it, but this time it was different.
Yeah, maybe they're saving the collapse for Game 7 again.
You were there for Game 7 five yep. years ago.
That was unbelievable.
I mean, it'll never happen again in our lifetime.
Yep, famous... Gee, who's going to get fired from this one? And we know that Jacobs was storming out of the building at that point. So we know people, you know, heads were going to roll after that.
Yeah.
And when they scored the first goal, it's like, ah, whatever. They're just making it, just teasing everybody. And then when they tied that game, I've never heard that building louder than that. And it just seemed like, because I think it was just such an astonished cheer from everyone. Like, it took the oxygen out of the building. You almost couldn't breathe. It was so amazing. And then, of course, That intermission between regulation and overtime was crazy because, first of all, everyone's singing. I remember they were playing Don't Stop Believin', everyone's singing, but it's like they still could have lost. Could you imagine if they lost that game?
After the comeback,
yeah. And, you know, Tuukka never makes any great saves in his life, but he made a great save in that overtime on MacArthur. And if he hadn't done that, obviously it would have been a different story. And then clearly, you know, Bergeron, right? So,
well, and that's a game seven. Last night would have been nowhere near as dramatic, but still, if the Leafs blow that game last night, that's
it would have been pretty dramatic for that team because of the expectations that the people have put on this team. Now they start to believe. You know, it's been 51 years, so when they get a 4-1 lead in a game like that, can stave off elimination, they're going to be pretty high. And if they, especially the repeat of it, I think it might have been twice as bad. Well, though it wasn't Game 7.
I guess the other parallel to the game is there are still a couple guys that are playing for Toronto who were in the lineup in 2013.
Right.
And
a
lot of people were saying, well, Bozak scored in Game 5 that year when they came back from down 3-1 in Boston. So here we are again, going back to Toronto for Game 6. Do you see any parallels? I mean,
I see parallels in that they didn't close them out and they didn't play their best game. I mean, I remember it was definitely worse in 2013, the Game 5. I remember that was more of a listless loss, not looking back at it specifically, but just my recollection of it. And they'd had a few of those over the years in those days. And but you still kind of felt like they could close that one out because of the way they had won earlier in the series and they had done well in Toronto in that series. But this was at least encouraging, I guess, in that fact that they had all those scoring chances, they had all those shots. And definitely a better performance than that one.
I would think that's the overall theme. As a Bruins fan, you look at Toronto, you dominated games 1 and 2. They couldn't beat you without Bergeron in game 4. Of course they were going to be desperate last night, and you owned the last two periods and almost beat them despite a terrible first. So I don't think Bruins fans are all that nervous going back there for game 6.
Well, I think they're always nervous, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them are already writing the eulogy here and getting ready for breakup day on Friday. But I think...
But most Bruins fans think they're the better team, right? Across the board.
Yeah, they should. Especially definitely should. I mean...
Well, I shouldn't say especially on D.
Right.
Because last night there were some problems from the Bruins D, but Toronto played basically 5D last night.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Ron Hainsey, I mean, I can't imagine that guy has anything left in the tank. That guy played pretty much every penalty kill.
He played 26 minutes last night.
So how much does he really have left? That's the problem. That's the interesting thing, too, in these playoff series, when you get down toward the end of them and you are so desperate and you're playing Ron Hainsey 26 minutes and, what was it, 8-something shorthanded?
Yeah, 9 minutes of shorthanded ice time.
9 minutes of shorthanded ice time. That's taxing. You wonder how much these guys have left in the tank. How many times can you produce a desperate performance like that,
correct,
where you're playing exactly 100% at the top of your game the whole time? So that's you know, that works in the Bruins' favor, that the Leafs probably can't duplicate that. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt maybe to get in Anderson's face a little bit. You'd like to see a little more net front presence, maybe get him a little off his game, get him a little frustrated. I think he's too comfortable in there. I think the fact that the Leafs haven't had power play shows that maybe the Bruins aren't playing with the right amount of snarl. I mean, the you know, it was pretty clean games in games 3 and 4, and the Bruins also didn't get a lot of power plays. But
yeah, the only guy that seemed to do that last night was Backes.
Yeah, exactly, and he seems to be the conscience right now with his team, and you'd like to see that. And that goes back to what we were talking about with Rick Nash. You'd like to see him go out there and bang some heads, and it's part of his game. It's supposed to be part of his game, and I think there are other guys that could do that. We've seen the fourth line do that a little bit too. I mean, when they've been out there,
correct? Yeah,
they might even be their best. Line.
They certainly were last night.
Yeah, last night for sure. I mean,
in fact, I was surprised to look at the final sheet and those guys only played like 9 minutes.
Right. They make the most of those 9 minutes every time. It's amazing.
A lot of it was special teams play last night, so that skews it. But
yeah,
should they be playing more? I mean,
yeah, I mean, like you said, five power plays or whatever in a row there, that cuts back their ice time, and then it's hard to get them out there. But in Toronto, they're going to be huge because they're going to be out there and, you know, they're going to come with Matthews against them. And, they've been up to that task in the past, and we'll see if they can handle it this time, too.
Conversely, if you're a Leafs fan, do you feel like this series has tilted and you have control headed back, even though you're down three games to two?
I think it's more still like this. I think you played the clip off the air from you, the Don Cherry saying they're loosey-goosey.
Yes.
I think Leafs fans know the team is still kind of a little loose. At this point, at least they've shown signs of life, so they're not going to just be going off into the sunset with their heads hung. I think they fought back. They got the home game they wanted, and I think they still – I think the pressure does shift to teams that have to close out in these situations, and we've seen it now all weekend. The teams, even like Bruce keeps pointing out, Bruce Cassidy, he's pointing out that two Stanley Cup finalists couldn't close out with 3-1 leads at home, right? So
yeah, Pittsburgh and Nashville both losing.
The pressure is obviously on the Bruins, and I think that plays into the Leafs' favor.
They do have Kadri back now, which they didn't have in the other two games in Toronto. So that's a whole new – it's a different matchup game Monday night that the Leafs have. And I think probably if you're a Toronto fan, you do feel like you have the goaltending edge, although it's been – Anderson, I don't know, like last night he had the quantity of saves – what was his best save of the night? Probably in the third period, he stopped Pasternak on one.
Yeah, in my riveting recap for NHL.com, it came, that was the save of the game, was the one on Pasternak on the rebound. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, the right pad save.
Yeah, Bergeron had a chance on the power play, and Pasternak had on the, and he had a few other good ones on Pasternak, and one on Krug toward the end, and one on Grizzlick in the third period. You know, He was in the right positions. He was more of like a Tuukka Rask like performance in that he was in position, wasn't making spectacular saves, but also the Bruins kind of didn't make it as hard as they should have probably on him.
They also are going to get the calls in Game 6 naturally based on last night. I mean, the Bruins had one power play in Games 3 and 4 combined.
Right.
So I guess it makes sense they had 6 last night. But Babcock was squawking about that after the game, coach should do.
If there are calls, they'll probably get them. But we didn't see the many calls at all either way in the Game 3 and 4 in Toronto. So maybe they let the guys play some more. But
did you find any, like last night, of all the questionable ones, the first one on the that led to the two-man advantage?
Yeah, well, it's just the rule of the law now, right? It's stick.
Not the broken stick, okay. Actually. What's the other one that... there was one where one must have been Grizzlick. He grabbed him from behind or got grabbed from behind, and it was like it was kind of
That was kind of a soft one. I think the one on Dermott, too, I didn't quite agree with that one. Although they called it holding. He didn't hold him. They wanted to call elbowing.
Behind
the
net,
had a chance.
He kind of threw him down. It was more like a can opener type.
Exactly, and the puck was there, though, so it wasn't interference or anything. So, I mean.
It was Johnsson is the one I'm thinking of. Late second period, he pulled Pasternak down just entering the zone. And he put both his hands on him, and there wasn't much there.
Right. They could have probably taken them both.
I mean, in the playoffs, you don't expect them to call much.
Right.
That's one I just don't expect in the playoffs they would call. The stick fouls, everybody bitches about. They hate that now. The just broken sticks and an automatic penalty. But that's the rule, so that's going to happen.
It's terrible.
So from I don't know, if you're Babcock, I don't think you're complaining about the refs that much, except that it's just 6 of them.
Exactly.
One
he wants to make sure he calls it out and, you know, puts it in their head. And obviously, people are going to read it. People are going to talk about it like we are. And they'll probably will get a little bit of advantage. At the very least, like I said, they won't get any calls, and it'd be more evened out like it was in Game 3 and 4, where both teams couldn't seem to get a power play, which, you know, there weren't any penalties, I don't think, that were being overlooked in those games. It was just some clean games.
Yep, and Game 4 was downright boring, to be honest. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of separation.
Right.
And even the start of yesterday's game, first four minutes, that's probably what Toronto wanted. There was nothing much. It was like 1-1 in shots 5 minutes in. So they've kind of evened out a little bit for a lot of 5-on-5 play between these two teams. But started the show talking about Tuukka Rask. Would love to hear what you think of his culpability last night. He got pulled first time in his playoff career. 617-779-7937. Cassidy called him out after the game to a certain extent. The 1995 last pulling of a goalie in Bruins playoff history, Blaine Locker for Craig Billington.
Wow.
You were there for that game against the Devils?
I was not there. I was in a college dorm down the street.
It's actually amazing. With all the playoff games they've played, they've never pulled. It's been that long since they've pulled a netminder.
There was a lot of times, you know, everyone thinks of Tim Thomas 2011 being so masterful, but there were a couple of games there where other coaches would have pulled the goalie. And you think of in that one game in Tampa Bay where he gave up seven and didn't pull him. And, you know, it just hasn't been the MO around here. That was Hudobin's playoff debut, actually, which is speaks to that.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. There's no chance that Cassidy loves Hudobin so much he's going to put him in for game six, right? Right?
Well, I thought about that.
Is anybody going to call for that?
No one asked him that last night, and obviously it was a kind of a weird situation to do it. I believe someone will ask him that today, and are people going to call for that? Of course they are.
People
were calling for it. I had someone tweet at me that he wanted Hudobin to start last night before he even saw Tuukka play.
That's unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine the stones to put Hudobin in a game six in Toronto?
That would really, I think more than anything, that would fire up Toronto. Because that would be saying, oh, you don't believe that that we're going to fight here. And then,
totally. I mean, it's not that out of character for Cassidy, but, I guess, because he did it earlier in the year. He sort of
benched exactly. Rasmus. Regular season, you do that. You're on the West Coast. Your team's not playing well. You're sluggish, whatever. You do that. You don't do that in the playoffs. And, you know, you don't want to let the team off the mat. You don't want to give them any inspiration. And let's face it, there were people calling for Patrice Bergeron to just sit out. If the doctors clear him and the coaching staff can put him in there, you play him. You don't just sit guys out in the playoffs thinking, oh, we have a 3-1 lead. Have you not learned anything from history of this team?
Well, but that's different, though. That's a concussion situation, right, we think.
Oh, I don't
not
think.
Not admitted. Where
whatever injury it is, the medical staff makes the call there, and you don't rest the guy.
I don't know.
The
do
guy.
They on a concussion?
Of course.
I thought I was reading Bergeron talked his way back in the lineup. Like they were waiting
that's the spin you always hear because Patrice Bergeron has to, you know, be deified that way. I'm sure they had him locked up in a room and he had to bash through the door like the Incredible Hulk to play and had to like throw, you know, he had to lock Bruce up to get this narrative about that is nonsense. The fact is the guy was ready to play and maybe he wasn't at his best last night, but once the medical staff gives him clearance, he's going to play. And you don't rest anyone in the you don't rest people in the playoffs.
So sit Bergeron for game six naturally.
Yeah, right, of course.
That's the recipe
for success. Let's call up Zboril to play D and give Chara the night off, and let's see what Sinishin can do in the playoffs.
They brought up Tommy Cross last year. That worked
exactly.
Out
well. Let's just do it. Get Tommy Cross in there. I mean, get anyone in there. What the heck? It's a 3-2 lead. The Bruins have never blown a lead, right? So, I mean, geez, that's the way it works. You know when you rest? You rest when you win Monday night's game and you don't play again until Thursday or Friday.
Well, I mean, I got to think that Cassidy doesn't really feel like that game was on Rask, even though he said what he said. And part of the reason he pulled him was get him out of the game for the last period and a half. We're focusing on game six.
And I think also, you know, you talk about him throwing Rask on the bus, but he talked a lot about these two-on-twos that became goals, and that's huge. I mean, you can't give up goals two-on-twos. People are talking about the stretch pass. The Maple Leafs aren't using the stretch pass anymore. They've shut that down. What's killing them is two-on-twos, even-man rushes, five-on-five play in the zone. That's what's killing them right now. They're not shutting that down.
All right, interesting take from Jim in the car here. He's next on Sunday Skate. It's Ken Laird and Matt Kalman. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Good show. Well, I preface my comments. I'm a Cassidy guy. I like him. My favorite thing about him is when somebody plays poorly, he doesn't sugarcoat it with the press. He tells it like it is. I think we could all agree that Tuukka was horrible last night. Saying that, I don't understand, and I disagree with what was just said regarding the stretch pass. I feel like our defensemen are getting beat constantly, and I feel like that's some type of a system error, and I wanted to know your thoughts on that.
System error for the stretch pass. What do you think, Matt?
Well, it's execution. They have to forecheck and stop letting those passes get out. I mean, plus they have to cut these plays off at the blue line and the red line, and they're not doing that. I mean, for some reason, they're tentative out there. I mean, that Matthews play to lead to the Brown goal is a perfect example that Adam McQuaid needs to make the decision to attack Matthews, not to back off and give him so much room.
Yeah, McQuaid got turned around there.
And we've seen that a lot. And I think what I'm saying about the stretch pass is that we're not seeing the two-on-ones that we were seeing.
You did in game three.
Right, exactly. And they solved that. And now the issue is in the zone, not shutting things down. You know, maybe the shots aren't great air chances, but when they're chances, it's the playoffs. This body is in front. There's guys doing everything they can to score, and there's going to be bounces. You just can't. They're playing with fire that way. And we didn't see it as much last night, the second half, when they started to turn it up, but that's what's really killing them right now.
All right, good. The Rask haters are waking up. Chris in Plainfield joins us next on Sunday Skate. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. With Tuukka, right, his ability, no one can question. Obviously, he's a very, very talented goalie. It's about his general lack or his general acceptance of what's going on, the burn. Whatever you need to have, he sees things happen, and also he's like, yeah, well, we'll get him next time. I mean, for some reason, there's just acceptance to what's happening instead of, like, you know, trying to make it. Hey, you could watch Hudobin out there, and he was gonna do anything he could to keep the puck out of them. And I know he's not as talented as Tuukka, but Tuukka goes in, and he's like, oh, shucks, guys, you know, let's go get him next time.
You want, like, a Ron Hextall chasing somebody around the ice.
You don't have to be nuts, but at the same time, you can't just sit there and seemingly accept the general malaise that he has.
with all due respect,
I like that take from Chris.
I hate to ever question anyone's, you know, determination or whatever you want to call it at this level. I think the fact that he's not throwing the milk crate like he did in Providence all those years ago is not a sign of him not caring. I think you're really kind of. The fact is that he doesn't have to play like Hudobin. He knows how to get in position. He knows how to be calm in the net. In fact, Hudobin's play probably sometimes fires up the opposition because they think they have the goalie scrambling.
He's always scrambling. That's his style.
You know, this whole idea that he wants to just, you know, get him next game. Well, that's the attitude you want. Isn't that the attitude that wins Super Bowls in this town? Everyone looks forward to the next game. They don't look back. Isn't that what we want around
here?
People
like the fire of Brady. You know what I mean? They want that guy that's crazy on the field
on the field. What are you talking about? All they did was criticize him all year for that, didn't they?
No,
I mean,
you
don't want him throwing his teammates on. He wanted him to fire up, but you don't want him to throw his teammates under the bus. He said he stunk. He said he could stop more pucks with his eyes closed. I don't think he's joking there. He's saying he's terrible.
He is calm though. He's sort of zen these days.
That's just his personality. It's always been his personality. I mean, yeah, we've seen him have nutties on the ice sometimes. Falling on his rear end after the shootout loss or throwing the milk crate like I did all those years back. But for the most part, he's a laid-back dude, and he's a regular guy. That's the key to him. He's one of the guys. You don't have this crazy goalie.
You want that
goalie.
From a goaltender? I think you want a goaltender to be a little nuts.
I want that from a goaltender because if he's elite enough to be a top-five goalie in the league, I don't care what he does.
Would Tim Thomas have, like, attacked Cassidy after the game if he got pulled last night?
No, I don't even know what Tim Thomas would do. I think he would post something on Facebook.
Andy in New Hampshire's next on Sunday Skate. Hi, Andy.
What's going on, boys? Hey, I'm worried about this precedent that was set last night with the face-offs by Babcock talking to the referees in between periods.
Oh, it was weird.
Getting Bergeron to be kicked out there after he won a couple. I mean, what was up with that? Was there any questions about that last night at all?
Yeah, there were no questions about that, and I'm as confused as anybody. I watched that. It's like I don't even know how to explain what it looks like
long
out there.
Long delays and Babcock's. It's the Babcock effect.
Go ahead.
I'm assuming they were kicking him out because he wasn't getting a stick all the way down, and that's what Babcock was talking about, because Bergeron likes to chop you.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, and that's Patrice's motto, and that's what has won him all these Selkies, and I think he'll probably make the adjustments in Game 6 the right way, and I think maybe it's up to Bruce Cassidy to kind of talk about the Toronto guys, too. Of course, it would also help if David Krejci ever won a big face-off, but he's been getting beat sometimes.
Yeah, don't bring up the elephant in the room. Hey, Rask, you know, this is the way the guy has been since he's been here. I mean, he had an amazing game the other night. I mean, he stole one in Toronto. There's no doubt about it. You're not going to come into an elimination game and not get the other team's, you know, just complete game. And, you know, goals 3 and 4, I lay on him. He has to turn the momentum there. He has to maintain the momentum. Giving up that third goal was absolutely brutal. You know, and I mean, I don't care if the guy's relaxed or psycho or whatever. You got to make that save.
Yeah, and you know what, too? You made me think of this now. I mean, Cassidy's, you know, complaining about that goal, the Bozak goal.
Yep.
Then why didn't you pull him there?
Yeah, that's a good point, because the fourth goal was obviously not his fault.
Exactly. If you're that offended by that goal, pull him there. If you want to fire up the team, why wait till you're down 3 goals when you can do it when you're down 2 and you have a chance? I mean,
and when they did pull the goalie, it had an effect. It switched. It did change the momentum of the game, whatever you want
absolutely.
To say.
About. I mean, I think that's one of the things with Tuukka, with his personality that you guys hate so much. But he's one of the guys, And I think they really do like him and they really do care for him. And when they see him pulled, I think it's like if a player gets injured or a skater makes a mistake, that definitely does fire them up.
That's
more.
A good point. So two errors from Cassidy. Why Chara was not out against Matthews in the first 6 minutes of the game. And why he didn't, if you're going to pull Rask, pull him after goal three,
yeah,
not goal four.
It feels good to finally be criticizing the coach again.
Come
guy's
on,
been on a honeymoon for all this time. Jeez.
Cassidy sucks. I'll say it right now. All right, final thoughts on Sunday Skate. We're presented by Star Market. Matt Calvin is here, Bruins writer of great repute. Find him on Twitter, at Matt Calvin. I'm Ken Laird. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Sunday Skate with Ken Laird and Matt Calvin. Presented by Star Market on WEEI.
All right, final moments of Sunday Skate presented by Star Market. We just got chastised by Steve Buckley during the break because we didn't legitimately discuss whether or not Hudobin will start Game 6 or should start Game 6.
I think the controversy is between Hudobin and Zane McIntyre. That's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah.
No. Tuukka Rask starts Game 6.
I was thinking Malcolm Subban myself. You still in the organization?
He's going to win the Stanley Cup with the Vegas Golden Knights, by the way. But Tuukka Rask starts Game 6. Tuukka Rask plays his best game of the series, even better than Game 4. Doesn't mean they win the game. It means he plays really well. Maybe.
Do they win the game? What's your prediction? Your Game 6 prediction?
I don't. At this point, considering the way we were celebrating last week after 2-0, I am not going to make a game prediction, but I will tell you that if the Bruins do not tighten up defensively, if they do not go out there and play the system that our crawler criticized, but their system is fine, the system's just not being executed properly, they are going to be in trouble because they're going to give up these zone time and this possession that is killing them. I mean, you can't have these breakdowns. You need to cut these plays off. They have more speed than the Bruins, and at some points they have more high-end talent, and they need to shut these things down.
The change I think Cassidy could make is pulling McAvoy off Chara's pair.
Yeah, that might end up being the switch on the road.
Happen.
You might see a Chara, especially like we said, if Holden is in there, you might want to protect Holden with Chara, but you know, Chara Miller, Chara McQuaid, and then Krug and McAvoy, that could be a thing.
I got the Bruins 3-2 in Game 6. McAvoy's redemption game. He's going to score the game winner. But look for that. And Hudobin will start. I'm going to go on a limb. They're going to put him in.
For who? The Bruins or some team in Kazakhstan?
Should Hudobin start? Steve Buckley takes your calls for the entire first hour of Buck and Volani coming up next. 617-779-7937. I think they'll be talking a little bit about that no-hitter, too, and some of those controversial calls. Buck is fired up. Sort of. See if he puts the feet up on the desk in hour one. Good stuff, Maddie. We'll talk to you next Sunday regardless. I think we'll be talking about Bruins and Lightning, or we could be putting a bow on the season. We'll see. That's next Sunday at 8 a.m. on Sunday Skate. Check out Matt on Twitter, at Matt Calman. I'm Ken Laird. See you.